is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Making Headway Show on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, President of Headway Strategies, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides individuals and entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information that relating to significant impact of business issues. At the conclusion of the show, I will post a summary of the show, some graphics, as well as contact information for the guests in the event that there are follow-up questions for the listeners. Today, we're going to discuss an opportunity for employers to provide options for employees to purchase supplemental insurance beyond their traditional health care coverage. With the changes in the Affordable Health Care Act, this is something that business owners and individuals need to be aware of. Today, we have two experts in this area, Chris Fiesel, District Sales Coordinator for Aflac, and Lynn Fiesel, an agent for Aflac as well. They're here in the studio today with Tough to Topic, and welcome Chris and Lynn.
Thank you.
Our producer today is Tom Maloney. Well, thank you, Tom, for producing the show.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Why don't we start off with a little background on Chris and Lynn. Give us a little background on how you got into the business of supplemental insurance and the like, if you could.
I got into the business first. I moved here as a Texas transplant in the late 90s and worked at a company doing sales in Cambridge where we had phenomenal health insurance, great benefits. And unfortunately, while I was working there, one of my colleagues at the age of 29 was diagnosed with cancer, and I watched what she went through and struggled with, even dealing with really good health benefits that were offered by the company. As a result of that, when I left the company, I ended up seeing an ad for Aflac on TV, researched it a little bit when I was in a job hunt, and realized that I really strongly believed in what they did and the mission that they had, and I joined them in 2003, became a manager there in 2004, and I've been with them ever since.
Great. Great. And Lynn?
I actually spent the first part of my life teaching kids with special needs for probably about a dozen years, and about 2007, I was ready for a change, and Chris was moving up in the managerial ladder with Aflac, and he asked me if I'd come on board and support him in the business. I told him I thought he was crazy. There wasn't a chance in heck I was going to do anything with sales, but he convinced me, and so I've been with him ever since, and 8 years and keep on plugging.
Well, great, great. Well, special needs teachers are something I'm very familiar with. My wife taught special needs for 34 years in a variety of different circumstances. So, God love you for going through that.
Mm, thanks.
So why don't we just talk a little bit about the overview of the types of coverage that people talk about when they have supplemental insurance, and what should people be looking for, or what is available?
I'd say supplemental insurance as a whole is a market when it's offered through the workplace. There are really two types of supplemental insurance that employers offer. One is for employers who are usually on the smaller side and either can't afford to or don't want to offer company-paid benefits to their employees. So they'll use us as a core benefit provider to offer basically everything in an employee benefit package with the exception of medical insurance. The flip side of it is employers who offer a very strong benefits package and are looking to expand that benefit package through additional offerings that they can make available to their employees.
So in those cases, the employer would incorporate that into their benefits package as something they would pay for as opposed to the employer taking it up.
Occasionally, I'd say about 5% of our clients pay for their employees to have Aflac. The rest of the other 95% merely offer it inside their benefit package as an option.
Okay, very good. So how does this work with the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare? I know there's some confusion as to which is which. We all know that's the same. But how does that play?
It's actually made the need even stronger for what we do. When you look at what Aflac does and how we fit into the marketplace and voluntary benefits as a whole, the need seems to be growing. Even with the Affordable Care Act, more and more people are now being covered under health insurance, but they're seeing the out-of-pocket expenses grow right along with the number of people who are covered. So while people do have medical coverage taken care of, their out-of-pockets are growing, and that's where we come in and that's where we help.
Okay. So the reasons for supplemental insurance are really to cover a need you're not getting through your regular medical plan, or provide extra cash, or provide extra coverage that you probably can't get.
That's exactly right. I think there was a recent study done by an independent third party about employees and how prepared are they for when they have a medical problem, whether it's an illness or an injury, and are they prepared to deal with it? And they came out and realized that 46% of all the employees surveyed said that they have less than $1,000 set aside for that type of an emergency. So the need is clearly there when there is an emergency of some sort within the family that they need money and they need it quickly.
Well, that would barely cover an emergency room visit, I would think.
Right.
And all the other costs that go along with it.
And
so, go ahead.
If I could add, everybody knows that deductibles are going up, and folks find that they don't really know what a deductible means until a health event happens and all of a sudden the bills start rolling in, and then they realize what the definition of a deductible means. They understand it in relation to car insurance or homeowner's insurance, but for some reason there seems to be a gap in translating that in health insurance. So in that moment of reality, the event happens, the deductible has gone up, the savings account has gone down, and there's the gap that we look to try and help people fill.
So it's sort of hard to figure out what the deals are, what the costs are going to be, though, I would think.
Ahead of time?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I think that it's different than your car. You know, if you bang up your car or someone bangs up your car, not your bad driver, but if someone bangs up your car for you, I mean, you have an idea of what that deductible means.
That's right.
But with the medical, you've got different people sending bills for you for everything. It could get kind of out of control. Okay. So we talk about why people look for it. How are they marketed? How do you market those kinds of plans?
We do it through the employer. So we're a worksite benefit, which means that employers are offering this to their employees. So our job as agents is really to reach out to those employers, the HR professionals, the office managers, and to explain how we fit in with their current coverage. We don't replace anything, which is the important thing for them to know, is that we're just in addition to what they already offer. Once we get their seal of approval, they call a meeting with the employees where we come in and we explain the different options and the costs and help to enroll anybody who'd like to participate.
So it's a voluntary plan on the part of the employees.
Yes.
And what if I had a 50-person company, how many employees would have to participate in the plan in order to have you write something as a group? Because it becomes really, it's a group insurance plan, right?
It becomes as a group plan, but we have a minimum participation requirement of 3 employees picking a policy of their choosing. It doesn't need to be the same across the board. And that's the minimum that constitutes a group and makes those group rates available. But what we find is that when we're able to explain and educate everybody on how the programs work and how they can help people, we find typically about 60% of employees will choose a program to participate in. So it's a low requirement and typically pretty good participation.
Okay. Any other comment on that? Okay. What about – so if the employer doesn't incur any costs, what's the incentive for the employer to have you come in and talk about supplemental insurance?
I'd say the biggest incentive for the employer is that this really is additional benefits that he or she can offer to their employees at zero cost to the company, which on their side really helps them when they're trying to, first of all, recruit good, talented employees. It's one more thing that they can post on their job board that they offer at their company. And on the flip side, it helps protect those employees who are the good employees already there and hopefully helps the employer with their retention rate. Usually employees view their benefits package as being at least as important as their income, and sometimes more so.
So if I worked for a company that had this and I left that company, would I lose that insurance?
No, that's one of the great things about this type of insurance and our company as a whole is that it's fully portable. It is fully portable, so if they leave the company for any reason, they're able to keep their coverage the same.
Okay. So that's a real benefit. I mean, if I can take it with me.
Yes.
Most times you can't do that when you leave a company with whatever medical insurance plan you have there. So that's excellent.
That's right. If I could add one more thing, it's we don't wish bad things to happen to people, but they do health-wise. And even on the small scale, we find that this is going to sound a little goofy, but employees really are happy when a claims check shows up in their mailbox. And even though they paid for the policy, they really are appreciative that their employer gave them the opportunity to have this kind of coverage. So they picked it, they paid for it, but that they are looking positively upon their employer for making it available to them.
Okay. I think, Chris, when we were talking about a month or so ago, I think you told a story about one of the benefits that one of your customers saw by being able to offer the plans that you offer.
That's right. Yeah, we were discussing. There's an employer with about 50 employees, and the owner runs numbers very carefully for his business, and called me aside about a month ago and said that he'd done an analysis of his business expenses. He brought in our programs at the same time that he also instituted some OSHA training for his employees. And what he saw was that there was a significant reduction in workers' comp claims, because those employees that were really having injuries over the weekend and then coming in and saying they got hurt Monday morning so that they could claim workers' comp, now realize that they could actually be honest and say they were hurt on the weekend and be covered under our programs. So for him, that lowered his workers' comp claims by, according to his calculations, $105,000 over the course of 5 years.
That's not small potatoes.
And his point was, now I've been able to afford to hire two new employees because of instituting these programs.
Right, right. Well, that's great. Job creation.
Yep.
You have to look at it that way.
Absolutely.
Maybe another piece of information to put in your quiver. So what type of policies, you mentioned something about cancer insurance early on, but what types of policies do you typically come across as part of the supplemental insurance?
Probably our number one most requested product here in Massachusetts is short-term disability. We live in a very expensive part of the country, and nobody is working for hobby, so it's really important to protect your paycheck. That's probably our number one product. And then probably number two and three would be our accident policy, which is what you typically see advertised on TV. And then third would be one of our been around the longest time programs, which is the cancer policy. So
they have, do they come in varying degrees of coverage, or is it one standard coverage that you have?
Everything we do is like an a la carte menu. So actually, we have eight different programs here in Massachusetts. And so what we do is we sit with the employer to figure out which programs might be a good fit there. And then we narrow down to that selection. So we've got short-term disability, life, dental, vision, cancer, accident, hospital. So that's the large menu. Then we narrow down to a shorter list to present to employees, and then they pick from that list.
Okay. So can I vary the amount of coverage I get based on what I pay? I mean, if I want to pay more, can I get more coverage?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I figured that'd be the case, but I just thought I'd ask. So what are we trying to insure against? I mean, we talked about some of the things, the cancer, the dental, the vision, and things like that, but what are we trying to insure against, if I had to look at that?
I'd say the most important thing here is the monetary loss that families can incur when they're dealing with an illness or an injury. We looked at a study that Harvard did a couple of years back, that 60% of all U.S. bankruptcies actually came from medical bills. And of that 60%, 77% of them actually had good medical insurance. So that's the risk. It's not that people don't have medical insurance. It's all the other bills that keep coming in while they're dealing with something that we need to help them with. You know, we see it all the time in our part of the world, where we go to a pizza shop or a sub shop, and there's a jar on the counter fundraising for a family who's got a family member going through cancer, leukemia, something like that. And it's rarely the case that that family doesn't have health insurance. It's that they're dealing with all the bills that keep coming in while they're trying to deal with that.
So it's transportation, it's maybe some additional changes they have to make to their dwelling.
Yep.
It's
Child care.
Okay, child care and not being able to work. Maybe a spouse is trying to take care of another, the other partner, and not able to work. to give up some time that way, so it's extra money coming in for that.
That's right. And then it's all the regular, everyday things that you're dealing with all the time. Rent and mortgage and gas in the car and the cell phone bill and groceries on the table.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty significant. So we talked about types of expenses that you're trying to cover. There's some... What about out-of-network specialists? Are those covered in that kind of thing?
It could be. You know, Aflac, the way we pay in voluntary benefits is that we pay you based on your injury or your illness or your course of treatment. So you can use the funds however you deem appropriate. So we send out a check to our policyholders, and whatever expenses they want to take care of with that check, it's completely up to them.
Okay, so it's cash coming in that you can allocate as you need.
Correct.
And so that would cover things like travel and lodging and things like that if you had to go someplace further than where you normally live.
That's right.
Okay. Are supplemental insurance plans like auto policies where if I not that I'm a bad driver, but if somebody hit me, let me put it that way, and all of a sudden my car insurance goes up. Do you have a piece in there for the exposure of the risk for that individual? So if they have cancer once, they get cured, and then they have cancer again, does the rate go up or does it stay the same?
Fortunately for us and in our industry, we're not allowed to drop anybody from coverage based on their usage. So I'm kind of living proof here. I own our accident program myself and have now, unfortunately, in 6 years, filed 5 different claims on it from stupid little things that I've done to myself, slips and falls and that sort of thing. And we're not allowed to raise our rates on an individual based on their usage, and we're not allowed to drop them from coverage based on their usage. So once they have the program, they typically keep it.
That's a great deal for the consumer.
Yes.
Great deal for the consumer. Hopefully, we haven't bankrupt your company based on your claims, but obviously not at this point. And I suppose we have to figure out why you do these silly things that cause you to have injuries.
That's another podcast.
Okay. All right. What other risks does supplemental insurance not cover?
I think the biggest, well, really the only area that we don't cover is pre-existing conditions. The stipulations vary by policy, but in general, you can't get diagnosed with cancer and call us today and ask us to sign up for a cancer policy. It won't work that way. But we do have some ability to cover those types of situations after a period of time.
So I had something a couple of years ago but it's been all taken care of, and so I could come back to you and say it's been 5 years or whatever it's been, and we can go forward with the policy, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Usually the only situation we can't help with is where somebody's just been told that they need, for example, hip replacement and surgery in a month. That's at that point too late to then call us and enroll in short-term disability because it's something that you know is coming already, or people who will call us and say, I just found out a couple months ago I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby in 7 months. It's too late at that point to enroll in the disability and have it covered.
Pregnancy is a disability.
It is.
Okay. I guess I didn't realize that. I should be careful how I say that, but yes, I did not realize that. So I'm uninformed in that category. I appreciate straightening that out. So we're at the point right now where I want to try to just kind of summarize where we are. Just what else might like to share with the audience in terms of supplemental insurance and what considerations people should have?
I think one of the most important things with any insurance is when you need to use it, how quickly is it going to pay?
Okay.
And I know the industry average depends on the carrier, but most carriers seem to be between 7 days and 14 days as far as once they receive the claim, how long it takes them to process it. We did see an announcement this week from Aflac that they're now going to do a one-day pay, which means that if there is a policyholder who's got an accident policy or a cancer policy or a hospital policy, as long as they file their claim online before 3 p.m., the company has said that it will be paid within 24 hours, as long as the following day is a business day.
So that's direct deposit?
Direct deposit.
Wow. That's quite a
quite an innovative kind of approach on payments.
Aflac takes a lot of pride in their claims processing. They take it very seriously. They know that when a health event happens to somebody, the money can't come fast enough. So they work quickly to help folks.
I think I shared with you before that my son got injured on the job and ended up getting some PT and things like that. Had an Aflac policy and he filed the claim for it. And next thing he knew, he got a check and he was very happy about that. That he got some coverage for it. It didn't have the kind of treatment issues or other things coming on, but getting a check out of the blue was quite nice. So that's good. Well, I appreciate very much coming in and sharing your thoughts on supplemental insurance. I guess my take on it right now is with the Affordable Health Care Act, people's policies changing back and forth, and there's needs out there that need to be addressed. And I think in a small business entrepreneur and looking at what you can offer your employees, and I agree that benefits really are something that helps people stay in jobs as opposed to shopping around for something else. So what you can do to help employers, what they can do to expand their coverage with a limited amount of cost to themselves, I think is great. So our goal today was to try to provide you with an understanding of the opportunity for businesses to offer their employees a benefit, which has no additional cost to them. And Chris and Lynn, I thank you very much for being on the show. Chris, I have an email address for you, which I will I'll post on the blog. But if Lynn as well, and they can get a hold of you to follow up with any questions they may have. I'd like to thank our producer today for keeping us on track and getting the sound all squared away for us. And with that, I can be reached at my email address, which is jking@headway-strategies.com. And I thank you all for listening. And if you have some additional topics that you'd like to suggest on making headway, please feel free to get a hold of me at that email address. And so this is John King on the UR Business Network, reminding you to continue to listen to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway.
Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass. This is the UR Business Network.